Welcome to Awkward Talks, your music industry older sibling discussing the good, the bad, and the awkward with your favorite artists. I'm your host Izzy, a singer, a songwriter, entrepreneur, and lover of creative conversations. Each episode, our guests and I talk about their journeys to success and some of the tips and tricks that help them along the way, breaking down the barriers one awkward talk at a time. Hi, Ricky.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So fun. Yeah, it's been a long time planning. There's been many emails back and forth, and I'm so glad that we were able to make it happen.
I know.
That's just life, though, right now, isn't it?
It's like, so life. But what are emails? Why are we on our emails?
What are emails? I know.
I'm glad it worked.
I used to get anxiety of like people calling me, but now I'm like, please call me. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. I totally am with you on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're multi-talented. You're a singer, songwriter, dancer.
Thank you.
I would love to hear your story growing up, finding these creative outlets. How did music and dance come into your life? We're diving deep straight away.
No, this is fun. Okay. I like talking about this because it's just like all my hobbies in one thing. I really started... kind of in the performing arts world from like a really young age, like most people who are in the performing arts world. But I started off dancing when I was 5 years old, and I started off doing like the good old ballet, jazz, contemporary. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much my first memories of being on a stage was as a little dancer, doing shows and things. And then it wasn't until I was about 8 years old, I think I just had a fascination and an interest in kind of music and performing from a really young age. I guess maybe I was jumping around the house with like a little like Barbie microphone or something.
Take me back.
Oh my gosh. They were like these... I don't know if you remember them, but they were like these plastic mics.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like totally not electronic whatsoever. I don't know what there was like some echo thing in it. And they actually just make you sound like a robot. But I had one of those.
Oh my God. I was jealous of everyone that had one of those.
Don't be too jealous. It's not quite this microphone. But and then I think one day... my mum was like to me and my brother, I've got two older brothers who both did music as well. And my older brother, he's the middle child, is a really amazing guitarist. And mum and dad were like, there's a talent quest in the shopping mall and we're going to enter you two together and you're going to have to prepare something and perform it. So I would have been about 8 years old. My brother would have been 10 or 11. Oh, yeah. So we were very young. And that was my first time I ever sung on stage. And we got through to the semifinals.
Oh my God.
And it was just like, I remember it being this big thing, being like, oh my gosh, like singing and being on a stage, like those are my favorite things in the world. I've just decided. And then that was kind of it. I ended up doing, like growing up doing talent quests every year consecutively till literally like maybe like year 9. And then I was like, mom, this is really embarrassing. I can't do this anymore. So those are kind of the first memories I have of dancing and singing. And I did them simultaneously right through high school and then got to the end of high school and decided I wanted to go and study music, which I did at Massey University. And then, everything... kind of, I don't really know.
Popped
everything
off.
Just kind of kept rolling on, which I'm really grateful for. But
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't realize that your brothers also were into music as well.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, we do have a musical family. They're probably like definitely the reason why I got into music is
because of
my siblings, which is really special. Yeah. They don't really do music much anymore. Not anymore. But
well, I know that Jesse,
yes,
who works with Jimmo.
Oh my gosh.
So we used to live with Jimmo. This is how we all know each other.
No way. Yeah. Tin Palace.
Yes.
Now I've just made a connection. Yeah. Okay, yes. Crazy. Yeah. I love Jimmy.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy.
So do we.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've met my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've met Jesse and he also is like high achiever, has had an incredible career and now is just like slaying it as a business owner.
I know.
Is there something in the bloodline or was it like nurture?
Do you know what? There actually must be something in the bloodline because I was saying this to like, I had an uncle come and stay at our family house the other day and like saying this with the most modest heart in the world, but somehow, like, I don't know, when my cousin's the captain of the Phoenix football team. My other cousin just went on tour with Blackpink as their backup dancer.
God.
And it's just like, yeah. I was like, we have a very talented family. We are very lucky.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Were your parents like, really nurturing of that?
Totally. I think we all grew up kind of doing things together as well, which is really cool, but I don't know where that came from. All of us are like, where did that did not come from our parents?
Do your parents like musical?
They like music.
Yeah.
And they love music, but they don't do music. They don't do music, you know.
Oh, cool. And so you graduated high school, went to Massey. Love you, Massey.
Love you, Massey. Love you, Massey.
Love you, Massey. And then things started to happen. Things started to kind of like change. You released a couple singles.
Yeah. You know what? It's really funny because I think there's a real thing around studying music.
Yeah.
And people being like, do you need to study music?
Oh my God.
And like the honest answer is like, no, you do not. You can do music without a degree, 100%. But I honestly think going and studying music for me was the most essential thing like I could have done to get into the music industry how I am now because it's actually how I like, you know, met people in the industry for one, because we were so privileged to have like lecturers and people around us who were already doing amazing things in the industry, and then having the facilities to actually like learn about, you know, music production and engineering and contracts and everything. I don't know. It's really funny. You know, because you were there as well. But I like really do feel like I owe a lot to like my degree to be able to do the things I'm doing now. And even just the people that I met, like my friends who are in my band, I met them all through uni. And, you know, I met my former manager at uni and we kind of started this whole like Ricky project together.
True.
And, yeah, we really met and decided that we would start from scratch.
Yeah.
Not really knowing what we were doing, but kind of, you know, using our experience being at uni at the same time to kind of build a project together, which was, I can't imagine having started my project now after uni or even trying to attempt it without having done that uni experience. So, I think that actually set me on my way.
Amazing.
Which was, I'm very grateful for.
Do you think the fact that you kind of like didn't know what you were doing sort of helped that? Like you were able to kind of take those leaps or make those choices because you're like, well, I mean, you didn't know better?
Yeah, totally. I think you definitely you go into it knowing you're going to be faced with some weird challenges and I don't know, the more you enter the industry, the more you start being like, this industry is crazy. It's really wild, but it's also amazing. And of course, you're going to have to make mistakes and learn and grow from them. Mm. And that's the only way you keep going up. So I think, we really were just like, screw it, let's give it a go and see where it takes us. And I think just not really putting any pressure for it to actually do anything.
Yeah.
Either is so necessary. And like we really, like I know for me personally, I always said like if anything comes from it, then awesome. Yep. That's a win. But you know, like we're going to make sure that we have like organic growth and really make sure that the, you know, what's at the center of everything that we're doing is the fact that we're loving and enjoying everything that we're creating. So Yeah, I think for a very long time I was just like, nah, this isn't going to be a career at all, but like we'll just stay true to the project and go with it and, you know, not assume anything is going to really come out of it and not force anything. And I think through actually having that attitude weirdly gave me the opportunities to now be doing music full time, which was crazy. So,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Everything just happens.
Everything just happens.
When you don't think about it too much, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
When you say like staying true to the project, what did that mean for you at the time?
I think at the time that meant for me, honestly, just being authentic to myself. Mm. I think at the time, I mean, I started my project, which was formerly just Ricky. Now it's Ricky Reed. Yeah. Not really a change, but a slight change. But yeah, and I started that when I was 19. Mm. So it was pretty much at the end of my first year of university, I started the project.
And what a turbulent time.
Gosh. I actually had a friend. I had a friend who I was in a high school band with, and we were the only two people from like our band that were like, we're going to go do music. And we both went to Massey together, and he started throwing gigs around Wellington and was like, we really need a female act on like our lineup. We've got like two male bands and we need a female act. And I think it was like Caroline, the venue Caroline. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No.
No.
Was that here?
Robbie went there. God. Yeah, yeah. It was here. It was the one of my favourite venues in Wellington. It was down on the corner of Manners Street. Down on the corner of... Before your time. Surely they bring it back. Surely they bring it back just for you. It was so cool. It had all these like colourful like lights, like a disco floor but on the roof.
Oh my God.
Pretty much. It was so cool.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. I know. It's really sad. But I remember, yeah, my friend was putting on a show there and they needed a female act on the lineup and he was like, come play the show. Mm. And at the time I was like, I've never done it like my own artist show. Like I've written music. I don't even have like... a name or anything. And he was like, you can do it. I'm gonna put you forward for it. And he put me forward for it and I got the gig. And then I remember him being like, it's in 2.5 weeks. And I was like, okay. And he's like, what's your name? And I was like, Ricky. Like, that's my nickname. So and then like that was kind of it. From that moment I was like, I guess now I'm starting this thing, you know? So that really kicked my energy, but yeah.
Did you have a set at the time?
No.
No?
No. Oh my God, no.
What? Were we playing covers at Caroline?
I had original songs, but I had never, like they were nowhere near finished. They were so like underdeveloped ideas. I remember writing songs just for the gig.
Yeah.
To play at the gig.
I've done that so many times.
Yeah, I was like, I do not have enough. I probably had maybe like three songs that I thought were like okay.
Yeah.
And then I remember writing like a decent chunk of music for that gig. Pulled together a bunch of friends from our course. And, and then we played, They were awesome. Back then we used to just bring like ideas and then I'd be like, everyone make your parts way better. make all the parts really good. And it worked. And then, from there, I think, I don't know, I started getting a good grasp on like music production myself and then started producing everything. Mm. And then I learned how to kind of, you know, set up like, I'd like a Logic or Ableton for live performance. And then we started getting that element coming in as well. So, definitely started at a very raw place.
I don't think
was very good, but it was fun.
You gotta start somewhere.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really cool. And then when you released your first stuff, while you were still at uni?
Yeah. So I totally started the project. At the beginning of uni, it would have been the end of my first year of uni, where I, kind of really pressed go and I released my first song. I think it was in like November of 2019 or 2018. I can't probably remember. So that was the first song and I took it to one of my lecturers at the time and was like, can you help me produce the song? And he helped a little bit, which was cool. And then I had been recommended like a mix engineer in Auckland. Mm. And that was kind of the first time ever getting like a song that I was like, whoa, this was like... Like we did the whole process. Yeah, cool. And then, yeah, so that was my first song. And then the second song I released, High Heights. Yeah. And that was my second single I'd ever release. And that one, helped me.
Helped a lot. Yeah.
Kind of to enter the industry, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like? Like, can you remember what you were thinking whilst you were releasing your first stuff? Because I feel like that's such a, that is such a poignant moment in like a musician's career is releasing your first thing.
Totally.
What was going through your head while you were doing your first ever project?
Oh my God. I feel like I remember just being like, I need to get something out. Like I just need to start the process.
Yeah.
Like I'd done like a few gigs since that very first show, maybe like two or three shows after it. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to start doing shows, I feel like I'm going to need something out to for people to reference when they see my name on a lineup or something, you know? So I remember that being really big motivation. And then, I think that was kind of, that's really the one thing that I remember about releasing the first song I ever did. But I remember thinking to myself, like, I have to release this properly and like not half-ass it. So we made like a music video. I had so many friends luckily that were like photographers and things.
Creative friends are just the best.
Oh my God. That's the whole network of people I'm surrounded by now, which is like my favorite thing, creating with other friends. But at the time I was like, I need you to come take photos with me and I have no money to pay you. But if you want to, please come. And they were like, yes. So it was just like a friend project. So I had that. And then we set up like a, you know, like a press release by ourselves and wrote about us. I wrote about myself in like third person, pretending it was like someone out, you know. It's like that's all the stuff I feel like so many people don't realize that artists have to do when they're first starting out is like write their own bio and their own press release and like hype the shit out of themselves, being like, Ricky Reed is da-da-da. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm actually sitting behind a computer cringing at myself so hard right now. But literally, it's what you have to do. But yeah, I just remember we were like, okay, we're going to try to do everything. And yeah, I think it was really fun.
Yeah.
At the time, but I look back at it now, I'm like, ooh.
But that's just the journey. That's the process.
Totally, of course.
Did you have any moments of like, oh my God, like what am I doing? Do people want to hear this? Like you're writing, like kind of gas yourself up, but you're also like, who am I to be saying this? Did you have any of those?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely like writing like those kind of like a press release.
Okay, to be like, honest though, God, bios and press releases are the worst.
The day I stopped having to write press releases, I was like, thank.
You've made it. I've made it, baby.
Thank you. No. It's more the fact I just don't like talking about myself because I'm like.
Sorry for getting you on the podcast then, but.
Okay, it's okay. But I mean, yeah, it really has to go hand in hand with being an artist, I guess. But I think for sure it's always nerve-wracking launching yourself. Mm. And I think especially when it's you and it's not like you and your friends in a band or something. It's like this is just you. It's your name and it's your face. Mm. I think I was really nervous about that. But at the same time, I was just so keen to be a part of like this music world that I was just like, let's do it. And I don't think I thought about it too much, actually. I think I was just like, all my friends are going to be like, whoa, like, okay, girl, like, go on.
Do your thing.
Do your thing. But I think I remember just being really excited about it. So I don't think I thought about it too much. I think we're just like, yep, we've got a song, we've got this, let's pick a date, put it out.
Mm.
And then keep going. I didn't think about it too happened. Much. Yeah. Which was good, I think. Yeah.
Would you say like for young artists or emerging artists, don't always have to be young if you're emerging as well. Would you say that like getting music out there is like the number one thing to focus on? Like put your energy on just getting something out into the world?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I mean, there's so many things. I think the most important thing is just not... like yeah, not letting yourself feel embarrassed to do something that you're actually proud of. Because I feel like so many people want to do the thing and yeah, they're just holding themselves back because of what they think other people are going to think of them. Yep. And really it's like, if you're happy with it, then go for it.
And
like,
fuck them.
Yeah, but like, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think it can be really easy to, just sit on something for too long and then feel like you have to come back and rework it again and again. And truth be told, we could all do that for years and years and years, you know? And I think there's going to be a point where you decide you have to let go of something and then move on for yourself and your own sanity as well. So, I think it's also just how you grow, you know, as an artist and as a person. So I think definitely just not being afraid to just put the thing up, you know, like whether that's even just like a SoundCloud demo or a video of yourself playing something online or it doesn't have to. I think people also think it needs to be a really big thing. I know I did. Like I was like, I have to like have this and this and this and this. And I did do it and I did it. But you don't have to, especially now with like all the platforms, like TikTok and everything, you know, like I think the idea is that you just put out lots of kind of tastes of things that you love and you just start building yourself up in that way these days and you don't need to
overthink it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a hard. I think it's just like the idea of, you know, having so many people look at you.
Yeah.
And
being seen.
Yeah. Literally being seen.
Yeah.
But it's also such like a beautiful thing as well, right? Like people need musicians and music to be inspired by and motivated by. And yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm inspired. I genuinely am. Genuinely am. Because I'm currently sitting on a project that I'm like keep going back to and keep like, okay, I'm going to release it here, but I need to go do this and do like ad libs that don't need to be there.
Oh my gosh.
And
like, this is so exciting though.
Yeah.
So exciting. But yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. I mean, God, I'm saying all this, I'm releasing a song really soon that I literally wrote in like my second year of uni.
Oh.
And here I am like, don't sit on things.
Oh no, these songs are like 10 years old. Like I feel you. So
yeah. Really? 10 years old?
Nah, maybe not that long, but like definitely like five plus. Yeah.
But that's okay as well. Yeah. But do you ever feel like you're just like, okay, like I need to let go of this part of myself now?
Yeah, sometimes.
And I need to move on for myself.
I have moments of like, I have this version of myself that is just like full-blown Sagittarius and she's just really chaotic and will do the most random shit.
I love it.
And whenever like she takes over the reins, she's like, I'm just going to release everything I've got. I've got a track that doesn't even have vocals on it. Just watch me do it. And then the next day I'll be like, wake up and have to kind of calm myself down. But
I love it. No, that's really exciting. I mean, everyone goes at their own pace too, you know, which is like, is so fine.
Yeah.
Have confidence in yourself, you know, like it'll be great. If you're happy with it, then, you know.
Exactly. If you're happy with
screw
it.
Screw them all.
Screw them all. Well, speaking of artist growth, Ricky Reed, talk us through the change, the evolution of like the brand, but also the person.
Yeah, sure.
Take us through.
Yeah, no, I pretty much decided to rebrand my project when I finished university, which felt like the right time, actually. I think what kind of happened was I had been doing this Ricky project and I'd started it, like I said, from when I was 19 years old. And I felt myself in my own like personal life growing up and maturing and changing and going through it all.
Yep.
But I felt like my project wasn't doing that alongside me. So I felt like I had matured and grown up so much, but my project was still back when I was like 19 years old, which was really weird. I don't know how that ended up happening, but So I pretty much got to the point I had signed with a label, which I was awesome and really grateful for. And then I think it was just like being at the end of university and then having that opportunity and just me knowing how I felt, I was like, this is the perfect time to kind of just press the reset button.
Yeah.
So I did that and I took pretty much like a whole year while COVID was going on to go back to the drawing board, and I really wanted to give my project a bit more meaning. So I changed my name to, well, I just added on the Reed to my name, which is my surname, part of my surname. So Ricky Reed. And then part of that was just to emphasize that I'm having a change. I did so much research into kind of my, like my identity and who I am. So learned about my culture and my heritage and decided we'd use like red, black and white as like the main colors in the project to reflect my Māori culture. We made like a logo that had like the Ricky and the Reed was like weaving through it because we noticed like weaving was like a traditional design within like all the cultures that I have behind me. And
oh, cool.
We just went like that sort of thing. And the first song I released under Ricky Reed was a song called Meet You Again. And we purposely like made the whole story and like video concept and everything around like, I don't know if you've heard of Panya and the Reef.
It's,
to also like start conversations about like Māori culture and myths and legends and whatever and stuff. So it was just like, it was really cool actually to kind of dive deep into like just little wee kind of Easter eggs of who I am and put them into the project. So that was a big thing, was just really making sure I had like an identity, making sure that I had like, I felt like I had my own brand and I felt like the project was where I'm at today. So yeah, that was the main reason for the Ricky Reed change. And also to kind of narrow, I'm saying narrow myself back into the like a musical lane that I wanted to create. But it's funny, I feel like, since doing Ricky Reed, I've still been like discovering who I am as an artist. I was like, Ricky Reed, I'm going to do this whole alternative like pop thing. And then I did like that for three songs. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to make a dance thing. And now I'm going to make a cappella thing. And so I'm still very much like trying to figure out like what my project is. And I've just realized that it's going to be forever evolving anyway.
Oh, totally. So.
Which is natural.
And your, I mean, your project is you as well, and you're going to be forever evolving.
Yeah, so of it's course, totally of course. Natural for exactly. I think it's just important that the project is moving with me now as opposed to, me forcing it to stay in this little world while I'm changing. So,
When you're kind of creating this project, and I guess like as an artist, there often is, or maybe there always is, there's like kind of a line between like where you and the artist version of yourself kind of crosses over. Do you, is that line really separate for you, or is it like super blurred?
I think, honestly, I feel like I've maybe put like a really faint line in between, because I do feel like the project is me. And it's like everything that I'm doing creatively is reflective of everything I love. But I definitely, I don't know, I quite like the idea of having a really personal side, you know, that no one else needs to really like go deep with. But then I don't know, at the same time, I think I've been playing with this a lot actually lately, especially within my music. I think I really use the music to be like 100% who I am, but I love using every other part of the project to be as like wacky and fun and creative as I can. And I think it's fun to play like characters and and all of that. But the music is always gonna be as authentic as it can be and like tell stories exactly how I see them, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I think the creative process of like photos and videos and all that sort of thing, I'm like, screw it, let's go crazy and like be someone else or do something random. And then the music is always going to be like 100% me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. What is your like approach to that create? Like, what is your creative process then? Do you start with the song and then go from there?
Yeah, like yeah. You mean like the whole body
yeah,
of work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Always starts with a song. I love the creativity that just comes with everything to do with being an artist. So like yeah. I have a lot of friends who do music and the music is the main thing for them. And it is for me too. Mm. But I like that's it. Stop at the music.
Mm.
Don't mind someone else coming in for the video or for the photos, which is awesome. Yep. And that if that works for them, that's so cool. But I'm like, no, I have to direct the video. I have to come up with a whole like treatment for this. And like I need to like find the people that I want to shoot it. And like I think that's part of the creative process for me. So when I write a song that I know I'm gonna release, then I start going into like, do I wanna make a video for it or not? And usually I'll just get like a cool, well, in my head, some idea that I think is cool.
Yeah.
And then I go and then I do everything. I do all the mood boarding, all the research, and I will literally make like a giant PowerPoint to present to the team.
Oh my God.
Like PowerPoints are my favorite thing in the world.
What's your star sign?
I'm a Cancer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually don't know much about star signs though.
I don't know a lot either, but I just know that when you ask someone their star sign, you then reply with, oh yeah, makes sense.
Thank you for teaching me that. I will go through life saying that. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and then amazing. They feel validated because they know about their star sign.
Great.
There's the cocoa bun for you.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. But I love like directing and being a part of all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, so I've been trying to like co-direct everything that I
that's
do.
So cool.
With the other person.
With the other person.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's so awesome. What is the, like being a signed artist, what would you say is like the major differences in that creative? Because I feel like the perception that people have is that once you get signed, you become this puppet and like people make all the decisions for you and rah, 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 rah. Mm. But from what you're saying, you have like full creative control. Like you in their driver's seat, you making those choices.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's such like a conception about it, and it's not even a misconception. Like it's definitely true for some people, you know, like there's no denying there's horror stories out there.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's what's, you know, like I really did not think I was going to sign to a label.
Mm.
And I really, really made sure that if I was going to, like, was to sign to a label, it would be, like, it would just need to feel really, really right. Mm. I wasn't just going to do it because some label industry people had interest in me and I needed to, like, grab the opportunity. Yeah. I needed for me to feel really comfortable with it. Mm. And to protect myself, I think I really dragged out that process.
Mm-hmm.
There's really bad stories, but there are also really awesome stories, and it all depends who you surround yourself with.
Mm.
It's like the same in life as it is in your career, you know, like you surround yourself with the people that you want to be surrounded by. And I chose, gratefully and luckily, found music people, professional people that reflected all my values. Mm. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for that because I know that there are some people who have, you know, thought they've had a really awesome opportunity and probably did and then have just been completely taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, yeah, I'm very grateful and very lucky that the people I'm working with within my label have my best interests at heart and they trust me and I trust them. And if there was anything I was ever uncomfortable with, we don't have to do it, you know? So
that's so great.
Yeah. So, it's nice to hear that
like that exist.
Totally, like, totally, totally. Yeah. And again, it's just like, I've always said like being in the music industry, you just have to like really, like it can be so easy to get so excited by the idea of what could be and forget about everything else and just say yes to everything and then end up with, you know, around the people who have fooled you into something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it all comes down to just human nature, you know, like finding good-hearted people.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. Like, not forgetting that under the surface of everyone's egos, you're all just people, you know? Yeah. Is such a thing. So,
yeah,
I think it's important to remember that when you enter like the professional working music industry. But yeah. I love my label.
They're really
shout
great
out.
People.
Shout out. Shout label.
And it was probably quite useful for you in that process, you know, saying, going back to you saying that you, in the beginning stages, like all you wanted to do was just stay true to the project. Like that probably just rang true in everything that you were doing and making sure you were kind of reflecting. Or did you have like a lot of reflection, like making sure you were going back and checking in and...
Yeah, I think so. I think I was mainly checking in with making sure everything aligned with my values as a person.
Yeah.
Which sounds really cheesy, but like, I don't know. Like I really, really made sure that everyone who entered the project, like one, I had a good relationship with them and it felt personal and like everything felt like it was really connecting and fulfilling because... I don't know. I just like, what's the point of doing something if it's not going to, you know, fill your cup? Yeah. So that was really important to me, I think. Because, yeah, I just like the idea of being forever in this industry and, you know, not having your working friends as like your best friends or just, you know, people you work with or people that you don't even acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Like that just feels so wrong to me. Mm-hmm. I remember being so conscious about this back when I started, and I still am obviously, but like not, if I, there was someone working on the project that I didn't know about, I'd feel really guilty about it. Cause I was like, oh my God, like what? Like, why is there someone working on this that I've never met before, never talked to? Like that doesn't feel right. Cause they're helping me right now, you know? And that I feel like I need to like at least say thank you or like, you know, get to connect with them first before we work together. Just things like that, I think. Yeah. I was like, needed to make sure happened so that I felt good. And I knew everyone working on it also walked away feeling good about it.
You keep talking a lot about like people and the different relationships that you've had along the way. Would you say that like having good relationships is one of your like core values?
For sure. Yeah. Cause I think that's where you get all like your joy from, right? Yeah. It's like through doing things with other people, even just outside of music. Like if you're surrounding yourself with awesome friends that are going to make you feel good. And I don't know, I just feel like that's like the best part of life, you know?
What's your favorite thing to do with your friends?
Oh my God. That's such a good question.
Like perfect friend date, set the scene.
Do you know what? It's so hard these days because everyone's like,
all over the place.
Yeah, everyone's schedules are so different, which is really makes me really sad.
Yeah.
But me and my best friends, me and my besties, we like to go, we actually were going and getting like hot chocolates at like 9 p.m. at night.
Like, oh my gosh.
Down Cuba Street. We
like
Scopa
hot chocolates?
Or like Midnight Espresso. I don't think that's there anymore. It is still there?
Still going strong.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Midnight Espresso, we used to go there all the time. And then just walking and talking. Best thing in the world.
Yeah.
So good. Nothing better. I think it's just, it's very simple. Like hot chocolate and like
but just connection, like core connection, right?
Yeah. Totally. I think that's what we like to do.
Beautiful.
I don't know. That's probably a really boring answer.
No, I think that's beautiful. Yeah, we used to do that like in uni. I used to work at the halls. Don't come for me. Okay. But yeah, we used to go to like Midnight Espresso. Like we would do rounds and then like go there.
So
and,
good.
Yeah.
Love that place.
Such a great spot. Such a great spot. I remember coming from Hawke's Bay to Wellington, moving here for the first time, and like the concept that anything would stay open past like 3 p.m.
I know.
Was just crazy to me. And the fact that there was a cafe that was open till midnight, I was like, what?
It's so good. I wish there were more places, although it wouldn't make that place special then.
Special, but
I love that. I love being like, let's go get a hot chocolate. Like, we're not going to go get a beer or a wine. We're going to get a hot chocolate at 10 o'clock at night.
Are you speaking my language? I'd love to know. I'm kind of like circling back around to releases.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's just on my mind at the moment. I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking a lot about releases. But what would you say is like the major differences between releasing music as an independent artist and as a signed artist?
Definitely like the DIY part of it all, yep. I guess. Like, I miss it though. I actually like, I am like quite involved with releases, obviously, yeah. with a label as well. But it's all like the background admin that no one realizes you have to do.
Yeah.
Like finding certain codes for putting up when you distribute your songs and like just random stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, the major difference really is just that kind of nitty gritty admin. Mm. Like, I think it's cool though. Like, if you're learning to do, you know, set up a release as an independent artist, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that takes so much skill. And I think if you understand that, it's going to be so beneficial for you when you sign to a label because you know how everything works and you can, you know, make sure everything's done right and how you like it and understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's really just like, when you're independent, you have to do everything.
Yeah.
You just have to do everything. Whereas signed, you get to focus on just the creative work, which is all you really want to do,
you know,
as an artist is just be creative and not have to be sitting down and going, okay, I'm having to have an admin day today.
Yeah.
Like I just want to write music and dream up music videos and whatever.
Mm.
So yeah, I think being signed or like not even just being signed, but having a team around you just allows you to fully be creative, which is only something that I'm actually starting to do. Now, you know,
yeah,
it's just really only focus on creative ideas. Yeah,
what is something random that like artists have to do when releasing music that either new artists or just people who don't know the back end of music you think would be really surprised to know that we have to do before releasing?
I think like a lot of people probably underestimate like artists in terms of the kind of like even just social media content, the struggle behind getting a really cool piece of content is like not that fun. I don't find it that fun at all.
Man, if only there was a company you could hire to do that. Sorry. Sorry, I'm just launching a content creation company for musicians.
If only.
No, but I am.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No, we'll talk later. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's good.
But yeah, social media is.
Social media is. And like, it's awesome. Like, I just, I think if someone had set up a camera watching me to make like a 10-second video for TikTok and realized that I had spent 2 hours of my day trying to make it.
Yeah.
I think you'd be like, girl. And I look back and I watch and I'm like, and then probably in 2 days I've deleted the video already because I'm like, it didn't quite hit it for me at all. So people don't really see that kind of thing, you know?
Mm.
It's all right.
It's the trenches stuff is what I like to call it when you're like in the arena.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the hardest thing I find about being a musician is social media.
True.
Yeah.
Everyone says that.
I feel like the idea is that you can just make music and you can just release it. And if people enjoy it, they enjoy it. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, actually, people have always actually had to promote their music before social media. But now it's just like such a saturated industry that. Yeah, you really do have to put in the hard yards. Mm. But I mean, it's good and it's fun and it's worth it all in the end. But I think are you on TikTok?
I am, but I have this huge fear of being, I have the fear of being seen.
Yeah.
So I like, I like social media and I like, when I'm on it, I like it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better at it every day. I can do it for other people. I just can't do it for myself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like a fear of, yeah. I totally get that. Mm. I do have a similar kind of tendency, I feel.
Yeah. But it's also, I understand the frustration because it's ever changing.
Mm.
Like every time you go on the app, something else is the new strategy. Something else is the new thing to do.
Totally.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It can be super frustrating.
I've just never been a TikTok user. My whole life.
True.
I like...
Not even a scroller?
No.
Not even a consumer? Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nah, I'm not even a consumer. Oh, that's what I mean. Like, I think it'd be different. Like, I'm like addicted to Instagram. Like, really try to tell myself off these days because I probably, no one wants to see my screen time when it comes to Instagram. But I love it. I love Instagram. TikTok, I'm like, I just don't give it the time of day. I put on my own music things and then I put it away, delete the app and I like don't look at it again. But I think it would be different if I loved the app.
Yeah.
I would use it. Well, I do use it, but I would, you know, it would, I'd feel more passionate about it, but no.
Instagram's great though. Instagram's a tried and true and your content's beautiful. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to see your content now.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about touring.
Yeah.
You are a bit of a jet setter these days.
Oh, no.
No. No, but you, okay, no, but going back a little while, opening for Lorde.
Yeah.
How many shows did you do with her?
We did six or seven shows. Yeah, that was amazing. That was a really cool experience. My first like tour. Actual like traveling. Oh, yeah. My first traveling tour where it was like we did a show and then we left the next day and we did another show.
So it was all consecutive?
Not the whole thing. Like it actually was like, I think it was actually on like weekends, but there was a few shows that were bundled up that we would like played a show and then the next day flew and went to another show. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that was my first like proper tour.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what is a tour?
What even is a tour?
Yeah.
But what was it like, are you like homies with Lorde now? Is that how that works? Like, what is it like opening for a big artist like that?
It was awesome. I think, like we got to hang out, was really cool. Mm-hmm. I think what's really interesting about an artist like Lorde and like, you know, touring with an artist like Lorde is that, she's a mega pop star and a mega pop beast, but she is a Kiwi girl.
Yes.
You know, so you can feel that at like those shows as well, that it really is just such like a Kiwi vibe. Everyone's just really chill and like it felt really comforting to be a part of it. And so I really respected her and her crew for that reason. And it was amazing. It was so cool. The shows were awesome. They were quite intimate shows. She purposely chose intimate venues around New Zealand, I think because she was doing this whole solar power thing. So everything was very like organic and outdoors and really beautiful over the summertime. Her crew was really cool. She had like a band that came from the States with her. So it was awesome to like actually meet. I don't know. It's not very often you get to play shows, you know, in New Zealand and then meet people who are like session musicians for some really crazy people in the States, you know.
Wild.
So that was really awesome. I don't know. Yeah, it was a really humbling experience. I think it just felt, like a really fun, relaxed tour to do, but at the same time I learned so much about touring through the experience.
What were some of the biggest lessons that you learned?
I think just like the nature of touring in general. And like having to like really like look after myself. I like, oh my gosh, my next kind of goal right now is to like learn like vocal recovery techniques because I genuinely could not imagine myself right now doing like five shows in a row or anything like that. Not that I'm ever going to do that anytime soon or anything.
I mean, we can manifest that for you collectively.
Thank you. But I think so. Just find, you know, learning ways to take care of yourself and rest is a big one. And then I think just seeing the ins and outs of like a big touring act, you know, and being so inspired by her show and kind of, you know, everyone else's show. It was Lord, but then we were opening alongside Broods and mm-hmm. Phaser Days, who like another two artists yeah. that I grew up heavily listening to and being inspired by when I was really young. So just kind of being in that environment and being like, you guys are like my New Zealand like aww. Female idols, and then being able to like, you know, watch them and learn and mm. experience and be inspired by was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What are your like favorite ways to look after yourself?
I'm like before a show.
Yeah, or just in general.
I think before a show, like I'm pretty good at like being like no drinking, like one spot of alcohol, like at least like even like a week up to a show, I'm just like, I don't like, my throat will get really scratchy. Mm. Not that I'm like like an alcoholic or a drinker or anything. Like, I just mean like literally I can have one glass of wine and feel like the scratchies coming on.
Yeah.
Trying to get good sleep. Mm. I always have to do like a big body stretch.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm going to have arthritis or something when I'm older.
But you're also a dancer, so like that makes sense.
I was a hip hop dancer, which actually is probably really bad for like your body. Like you have to like learn to condition because you're moving and working muscles that you've like never
popping and locking and such. Before.
Popping and locking.
And, yeah.
and such.
And yeah. such.
And such. But yeah, I don't know. I think sleep and like lots of lemon and honey. Mm. I have like endless lemon and honey and tea and hot water. I just recently, like a year ago, got a vocal steamer.
Oh, I've always seen those.
They're really good.
Really?
Really recommend it. Yeah. It's like it actually looks like I'm in hospital with like a ventilator on. But oh my gosh, works wonders. So good. I can have that right before a show. And then like,
is it just like clear and loose? And
yeah, totally. Oh. I think it's really good for your sinuses as well. Mm. But yeah, I need to do more. But those are the few things I'm like,
you're learning.
I'm doing.
We're all
I'm
learning.
Still working out what works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your, like some of your favorite moments from that tour? Did you have any like fun, awkward, crazy, random moments?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think one of my favorite things was the band that I had at that time. So I had like my drummer, his name's Sam Notman.
Yeah.
Who's a legend.
Mm.
It was his last shows before he was, some of his last shows with me before he was going to move and take off to the UK.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. We like road tripped up to Auckland together instead of flying up for our last show with Lord, and it was just the silliest time with the band. I think my favorite part of touring is always just like our band.
Yeah.
Was just such a goofy bunch of losers, honestly. But yeah, like that was really fun. Getting to talk to Marlon Williams and hang out with him was really cool. He's an absolute goat in the music industry in New Zealand. I love him.
Yeah. Everyone speaks of him so highly.
He's so lovely as well. And it was, I love his music. So that was really, really special. I think, just being able to actually hang out with all the artists that were performing. Like we all had a big celebration on the last night of our whole tour and all went back to our house and partied.
And hung out should.
And, you know, connected. And it was just cool to connect with other people in the New Zealand music industry like that. So.
Oh, that sounds like such a good time. I love hearing like tour stories. It's one of my favorite things because you get to hear the cute moments with the band.
Really cute moments with the band. Yeah.
Mm, awesome. We've done a lot of like Ricky then and then Ricky Reed. And I want to know Ricky now, Ricky in the future.
Ricky
What's happening? What's coming up?
Yeah, I've got like one more track I'm going to be releasing as a part of how to explain? We've been, since I rebranded to Ricky Reed, I decided I was going to do 3 mini EPs, which kind of started introducing the world's of yep. Ricky Reed, I don't know, which for me was like introducing this alternative music taste, which I produced all the songs on like the first little EP. So it was kind of introducing that element. And then the second mini EP was three songs that were a bit more dance-based. And that was to like introduce that side of me. And then the third EP, mini EP, I've released two songs from already this year. This year and last year. But yeah, the third piece is coming of that, and it's just like the more kind of somber ballad, taking the wall down, being a bit more vulnerable. It's kind of what this third one's about. So I'm wrapping that up, and then I think once that song's out, that kind of will act as the bookend of the introductory stage of my project, and then we'll be moving on to like something that feels a bit bigger and a bit more meaningful. Yeah,
exciting, which
I'm really excited about.
Have you started working on that bigger project?
Yeah, I have, which is cool. Yeah, it's good. I feel like those three mini EPs for me was still, I think like I was saying way earlier, which is me working out myself as well as an artist. So yeah, through that process, I think I've kind of come out the other end being like, ding, ding. Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like I know who I am, which is like a funny thing. But yeah, so.
That's so exciting.
Really honing into that world now, which is really exciting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so exciting. And I also think like such a great way to start building your catalog as an artist, because there are so many different like facets of people and of your music. And, you know, sometimes it can be really daunting to be like, yeah, the first thing I'm going to release is like a whole album. But like little pockets of EPs is just like so sweet, because you get to know the people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's been great for that, like to introduce that to other people, but maybe just for me to like figure that out, you know, along the way myself too has been great. But yeah, I'm excited to be more consistent with how I'm feeling, and yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Before we wrap up, I want to do our little quick fire.
Okay.
Quick fire question.
Okay.
Which is korero Q.
Oh, I love it.
Just for you, korero Q.
Yeah.
So this is just like some little quick fire round questions.
Okay. I will try to be quick. I'm not very quick.
That's okay. It's fine if they're not quick. First thing I do need to preface though is that, are you aware of the Roman Empire trend?
Oh my God.
As in like the Roman Empire being something that you think about all the time?
No.
Wait, not exactly the Roman Empire. So like if I say like my Roman Empire is how my coffee is made.
Oh my God, no. I have no, oh my gosh, I'm so out of the loop with trends.
Okay.
What is this?
Okay, so.
That's really embarrassing.
No.
Wait,
we can
explain,
cut this bit out.
Please. Okay. No, it's fine. So I'm so intrigued. What does that mean?
Something that you are constantly thinking about or like is always popping into your head? Like maybe it's how does this thing work? Or maybe it could be something even small, like my favorite lipstick or my like favorite song that I can't get out of my head.
Okay.
Because the gag is that like, all men think about is the Roman Empire. Like that's what's currently in the back of their head.
That's really funny.
Yeah. And so now everyone's jumping on the trend and being like, my Roman Empire is,
I understand.
Do you get it now?
Wow. Okay, cool. How have I not heard about this? Oh God, maybe. Am I getting old?
No.
Am I getting old?
No.
You're
just living in that like creative bubble. You're creating
things. Thank you for making me feel better about myself.
Totally.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Okay.
My Roman Empire.
Okay.
God, I think my Roman Empire is literally my dog.
That is such
All
a
the
good
time.
Answer.
I think about my dog so much.
Oh,
I love
what's
my
dog's
dog.
Name?
Her name's Sophie, which is actually like, we did not as a family choose her name.
Okay.
She came with And I have to like declare that, because I feel like Sophie is such a human name not a dog name. And I'd never call my dog Sophie. But she is a Sophie.
It works.
She is a Sophie.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a wheat interior cross with a Maltese. So she's like kind of fluffy, quite long, like a sausage dog, and has like short legs.
Okay.
So
amazing.
She waddles when she walks. It's really funny. And
I
really
feel like
cute.
I need to get a photo or a video insert somewhere so people can see Sophie.
I will send you Sophie.
Oh my God, please.
Yeah. And we purposely spelled her name S-O-F-I.
Yeah.
Not like
Altie.
Sophie.
Altie Sophie.
Because we were like, that's more doggy.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you nickname doggy. Her like Fifi?
No. But that's really cute. Yeah. It's really funny. My brother actually, Jesse just got a puppy.
I know. I saw it on Jibby's story and I was like, God. What is this creature and why am I not near it right now?
So cute.
Have they decided on a name?
So cute. It's called Millie.
Okay. They did choose
But
Millie.
My mum was like, call it Fifi.
Really?
Yeah, like Fifi. And we were all like, Fifi, Fifi. And we're like, Millie. But no, Millie's really cute too.
That's so sweet.
What would you call your dog? Do you have a dog?
I have two dogs back home in Hawke's Bay. My parents' dogs, Dexter and Wallace.
Oh, those are really good names. Yeah.
But really I names. Have always wanted to call a dog Griffin.
Griffin is cute. Yeah. Griffin's really cute.
Either get a really tiny dog and call it Griffin or a really big dog.
Yeah,
and call
okay.
It Griffin.
Okay.
Either end of the spectrum.
Yeah. What dog would you get?
I do like big dogs. So I'd probably do I love German Shorthaired Pointers.
Cute.
Do you know what they look like?
I think so.
Like they're kind of like a mixture between a Dalmatian and like a spaniel.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Spotty, tall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I do have the image in my head right now.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Nice.
That would be my dog. Anyway.
Cute. How do we get into dog chat?
My Roman Empire is the dog that I don't have, but I have in my brain constantly is my dream dog.
It's the dog.
Oh
okay.
My God. I'm such a dog
Love
person.
It.
I'm so glad you brought
Same.
That up.
Me too.
Wow.
Me too.
We should start a dog sitting daycare where we just sing songs for them all day.
Oh my God. I think, what are we
Genius.
Doing with our careers right now?
We can just stop recording if you want to go.
Yeah.
For that promotion. But you know all those interviews that they do in the States and they bring in
puppies? Yeah, I think that is amazing. That is like, I could not answer a question though.
Neither.
I would be way too distracted. Neither. Like my brother's partner picked me up from the airport this morning and brought the new puppy.
Oh.
And she was like, how was the trip? And I was I can't talk to you
right now.
Alexia, I've just got this little fluff ball in my lap. So hard.
So sweet.
You're so distracted.
So sweet.
But very cool.
Oh my God. Okay. Next quickfire.
Okay. Yes, yeah, sorry.
No, I love it. I love it because I'm
so not quickfire.
I'm not a quickfire person either. So, okay. What is one thing about being a musician that you wish you knew before you started?
I wish I knew that, I could reach out to people myself. Sorry, that sounds really
No.
I feel like I was always waiting for it to be make it an official thing. It's you can reach out to people and people will still listen to you without an official person to do it for you.
Yeah. That's actually a really great piece of advice.
Yeah. Okay, that's
really
good.
Great.
I'm glad.
I liked that. Okay. When you need advice, who is the person you ask?
I always ask my partner.
Mm.
I think I always go to him first,
and
also my mum. My mum, my partner. Do you know what? Actually, I'm probably listening like everyone. Like my two besties, I always go to them as well. I think you always surround yourself subconsciously with people for different things. I feel so. I go to each person for a different category of my life. You know.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, those four. For sure, my two besties, my mum and my partner.
Great answer. Oh, is there an artist that you would like to shout out or someone that you're listening to right now that you want everyone to know about?
Actually, I just started listening to Ethel Kane. I don't know if you've heard of Ethel Kane. Really awesome artist from the States. I'm really obsessed with her. I pretty much discovered her through Gracie Abrams. I don't know if you're aware of Gracie Abrams, who I also have only really kind of, I've known of her, but I haven't really dived into her music.
She's not your Roman Empire. Yet.
Yet. She's amazing though. I've started listening to her music and I think she's an amazing, talented musician.
Yeah.
But I saw her do a Triple J cover of this Ethel Kane song called American Teenager. And it is amazing. It's so good. And then I heard the actual song and I was like, oh my God, how have I never heard you before? So
I'm going to go listen.
Go listen. It's so good.
Ah, amazing.
Yay.
Oh, incredible. Thank you again so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I've had such good yarns.
I know. We could keep going.
Yeah, we could keep going, but we probably shouldn't because we're gonna run out of space on all of our
SD
cards.
No.
Yeah. Never.
No.
I'm kidding. All right. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Awkward Talks, and a huge thank you to Ricky for being such an incredible guest. As always, you can find more about us over on our Instagram and TikTok at Awkward Talks NZ, or go and visit our website, which is www.awkwardtalks.co.nz. We will see you very soon for the next episode, and make sure you're following us on all of those social media accounts so you get to know who we're getting awkward with next. See you next time. The book of the book.